All right, guys. First, let me see if I have this thing turned on. I do have it turned on. Sweet. All right. How are you guys doing? Good. So I'm excited to talk to you guys tonight. So I'm gonna let you guys be my guinea pigs for a second. So we're talking about the topic of friendship. Remember that our main text is do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Again, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Okay. So since we're talking about friendship tonight, I thought I'd cover some of the greatest friendships of all time. So I'm going to ask some of you to name some of your friendships. We're going to go through a list that I came up with. So very first one, this is David and Jonathan. They're mentioned in 1 Samuel 18. This is David that slew the Goliath, the giant. And then, of course, this is Jonathan, Saul's son. If you know anything about David and Jonathan, in some sense, they shouldn't even like each other because David was soon to become king after Jonathan's father, which meant that Jonathan would not have become the next king of Israel. But they formed a friendship, so much so that Jonathan loved David so much that he was willing, excuse me, he was convinced that David was going to be the next king. He's willing to go under his leadership, and he was very supportive of him. So this is just David and Jonathan. Let's see if we can find somebody you may be more familiar with. Han Solo and Chewbacca. So, for those of you who are Star Wars fans in here, great, Tom. Tell me something you notice about Han Solo and Chewbacca off the bat. Han saves Chewie. Okay, what else? What else do you notice about them, physical appearance-wise? They're very different. Perfect. What else do you notice, Josh? They stay together. Okay, so Chewie and Han Solo are different looking. They don't look anything alike. You can tell already from the picture. But in the midst of that, they learn to form a friendship and they go on the same journey and battle together. And I mean, we got the whole Star Wars series, guys. I mean, you guys love Star Wars. I know I do. Next picture. Who is this? Anyone know? Corey Matthews and Sean Hunter. So this is Boy Meets World, one of my favorite shows growing up as a kid. Now, what is interesting about Corey and Sean is they probably shouldn't have been friends either. Sean came from a rough family. His family was divided. I think his mom and dad were divorced. His dad, he lived with him for a while and ended up running away from him. Corey came from a stable, middle-class home. So he had both parents. He had a brother and a sister. And yet, in the midst of that, they formed a friendship. And it's still one of the greatest shows. One of the things that you will notice is Corey has a girlfriend in the show named Topanga. So if you guys know that name, then that's what Boy Meets World is talking about. It's a weird name, but it's that. Let's see this slide. Who is this? Who knows? Will Smith will? And anybody know what the show is? All right, so you've watched it before. Like one episode. Who else has watched this show? So y'all have watched it. It's not on Netflix. Will said it's not on Netflix, therefore he's not watched it. So this is one of the shows I grew up watching as a kid. Will and Carlton shouldn't be friends either because Will came from a rough side of town. His mom, basically the story is, so Will gets in a fight with a gang or something, and his mom sends him to live with his rich cousins and uncle and aunt in Bel-Air. So Carlton's wealthy. He's always been kind of isolated to just the wealthy class. And here comes Will, who is from a totally different world, and yet they managed to form a friendship in this. Anna and Elsa! So, funny thing is, I just watched this movie last weekend. I didn't know that God was going to use it this way, but had some people we hung out with, and I was like, no, I've never watched Frozen. And they were like, you've got to watch Frozen. Okay. Something significant about Anna and Elsa. What's that? Anna. One has powers, another one doesn't. What else about their relationship is significant? They're sisters. They're sisters. and yet they were able to form a friendship. Now, which means that even in your family, you can form friendships with those who are your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad. So when you think about friendship, it gives it a whole different meaning and twist. It's not just, oh, it's these people that I kind of connect with. Friendship comes in a variety of forms, and it can happen with a variety of people. The Avengers! Come on now, y'all. All right. So, what do y'all know about the Avengers? Let me hear it. Let me hear it. They come from all over the world, some from different dimensions. So, when they get together, how do they respond when they first meet each other? Are they all friendly? Exactly. When the Avengers first started out, you can tell from story after story, they didn't like each other. I mean, to an extent, some of them didn't trust the other. In a lot of ways, they kind of considered each other vigilantes. There was no way they're going to get together, but they found a common mission and they joined together around that common mission. And I can you guys say that the Avengers haven't been made better because of that? They've been made better because of that. All right, so who are some of y'all's top friendships? Anybody want to go? Caleb Briley. You got a top friendship of all time? Personally, yeah. Your friend Sam? Okay, got you. Josh Rule, what about you? You got a favorite friendship of all time? Henry, no. Okay. Jake Martin, what about you? Is that like an Italian? Is he Italian or something? You've been friends like this, but you don't know if he's Italian or not. Well, it's good that you don't care if he's Italian or not. But girls, wait, let me find a girl. Let me find a girl. I see your hand, Tom. Meg, what about you? What's one of your favorite female friendships of all time? Seeing that I had it, like, what is another female friendship? Who? Lydia Beatty. Could you tell me about Lydia Beatty? And since I saw your hand, Tom, what do you think? Ah, you guys are a close family. I see that. All right, so let's move on. So why talk about friendship? The main reason we should talk about friendship is, to be honest, it's probably the least talked about relationship in the church. We talk about marriage, talk about being a parent. We talk about maybe who you're going to date or marry. But how many times do you actually hear a conversation about just being friends with each other, knowing how to connect with somebody that's different from you, or may not think the same way as you, or quite honestly, may not be in the same circle as you? But the truth of the matter is, whether you realize it or not, each and every one of you in here is made in God's image, and therefore you are designed for relationships. So, in the mystery of it all, God Himself is one yet three. Basic Christian doctrine. We believe in the Trinity. So you could say that God Himself has always had friends. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. They have dwelt together for all eternity. They've loved each other. They've glorified each other. They have delighted in each other. And by the fact that He created us, gives us a hint that He wanted us to get a taste of that ourselves. So when you read the first books of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, you see God is going through the text. He creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's good. He creates plants, life, everything. It's good. He creates the man. It's good. But there comes this point in the text where God says it is not good. Can somebody tell me when He says that? What is it, Tom? Okay. It's not good for man to be alone. Now think about this, guys. So, this is before the fall. This is before sin entered the world. And God says about this one man in creation, it's not good for him to be alone. So from the very beginning, God speaks against isolation. He speaks against not having a friend or any kind of companion to be with at all, because I think you all are aware of what that feels like. And yet in a perfect creation, God says it's not good for the man to be alone. And he wanted you to be in a relationship. He wanted you to have other people with you. Now, I think in our culture as well, friendship's not clearly defined. You don't really have a definition. I mean, we have Facebook friends. I know friends who have 1,000 Facebook friends. And my question is, how many of those people really know you? How many do you see day in and day out? They know what your struggles are. They know what life is like. So the word friend can even be kind of messed up, because people say, oh, I've got friends. And I mean Facebook friends. But really, how many of them are really your true friends? Along with that, friendship is harder to cultivate. Meg, your friend that moved away. So we have a situation in life where people move around all the time. People feel like they have their own little identity or their own little world, and they can't really connect with somebody else. And so it seems very hard to connect with other people. It seems very challenging. And at even times, friendship is kind of put up for the losers. The losers have friends. I'm a loner. I like being by myself. It's cool for me to be by myself. And you find that it's okay to be individualistic, or at least that's the thinking. It's okay to be a loner. And the reality is, it's not okay to be a loner. And it's not okay to be individualistic, because God himself said from the very beginning, it's not good for you guys to be alone. So you need relationships. All right. So let's talk about what it means to be a friend, because it's very important. Because if we have this world where we have Facebook friends and yet you're not really friends, we have this world where you can have Netflix and Hulu and all these ways that you really don't have to connect with people. You can just watch Parks and Recreation. You can just watch Big Bang Theory. You can just watch Star Wars. And you really don't have to connect with anybody else while you're doing this. So how do you look about going to really build true friendship? So there's this pastor that said, for believers in Christ, which would be for every one of you who have believed in Jesus, despite enormous differences in class, temperament, meaning you're an introvert or an extrovert, culture, race, sensibility, and personal history, there's an underlying commonality that is more powerful than them all. Christians have all experienced the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus. And we also long for the same future. We're journeying to the same horizon and what the Bible calls the new creation. And any two Christians with nothing else but a common faith in Jesus can have a robust friendship, helping each other on their journey toward the new creation, as well as doing ministry together in the world. And one example I thought of is, can't say I've read through the whole series, but I've kind of been dabbing in the whole Lord of the Rings series. And so if you guys remember Bilbo Baggins, he is in his hobbit hole. It's safe. It's comfortable. It's warm. There's nobody interfering with him. And then one day, Gandalf and the other dwarves arrive, and they offer him an adventure. Now, he has to make a decision, right? He has to make a decision about whether he wants to go on this adventure or not. He can stay in his hobbit hole where it's safe and it's warm and it's comfortable, or he can decide to leave it and go on the adventure. And he does. And his life is changed forever because he does that. His life is changed forever. So we're talking about true friends. If we get to that point, we wanted to really talk about what is the mark of a true friend. We're going to talk about four characteristics. So you have constancy, you have candor, you have carefulness, and you have counsel. So let's talk about constancy first. So constancy means, can somebody tell me the definition? Anyone? Always be the same. They're always there. They're always true. They're always faithful. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, or if you're female, than a sister. So Proverbs 18:24 mentions that we have, if you want to talk about true friendship, there comes this point where there's that person that's going to be there with you when life isn't going right, when life is going right, when you're trying to make a decision about what you do with your money, or what school you go to, or what's your next step in life. They're going to be there. And they're not just going to abandon ship because things get hard or tough or they don't understand. Truth of the matter is, they're going to be there for you no matter what. And in times of adversity, when times are hard, they're going to be there even more for you. So Proverbs 26 says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love. I'll be with you. I'll hang out with you. I'll be there when you're going through this. But when that time comes, a faithful man who can find, because I'm certain that a lot of people have experienced that moment when things got tough and their friends left them, or who they say were their friends, or who they thought were their friends. But a true friend's going to stick with you through no matter what. That's what true friendship entails. Next thing, candor. Can somebody tell me the definition of candor? Julia, do you know what the definition of candor is? Okay. Georgia? Bam. Very good, Georgia. So with candor, it means you have a friend who is honest with you. Enough to tell you the truth. Enough to say, I'm going to tell you the truth. Doesn't mean our friendship's going to be a mistake, because if you're truly friends, then they should have that realm where they can tell you the truth. They don't have to make you feel like, oh, if I say this, she's not going to be my friend anymore, or he's going to be not going to be my friend anymore. That he can tell you the truth, or she can tell you the truth, and you're still going to be friends, and it's going to make you a better person because they tell you the truth, guys. So, Proverbs, again, says this. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. And profuses are the kisses of an enemy. So you have this friend who just told you something you don't like about yourself, or you don't seem to care that much about, and yet they're actually doing you a service. They're helping you become a better person. And especially in light of what Scripture teaches us, they're also helping you to become a better Christian and helping you to become more and more and more like Jesus, guys. So carefulness. Anybody want to give me the definition of carefulness? Josiah? Being careful. Thank you, Josiah. The state of quality of being careful. Okay. So careful, and not in the sense of they're walking on eggshells just to talk to you, but careful in the sense that they are being careful in how they approach you with their words and with their time and with their stewardship. So let me give you an example. So let's talk about timing. Let's start there. So Proverbs 25 and 17 says, let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Just think about that. You guys know that guy. Every time he or she comes around, got some food? Got some time? What you doing? What you got? They actually are not there to be your friend. They actually come there for your stuff, what you can give them, time, access, popularity, food, whatever they're after, you become the means of getting that. They don't really care about you as a person. They're just like, you know, I'm going to go to Will's house because I know Will has food, and I'm going to get food. And he comes over there all the time. I mean, it's not just one time, but every time he comes over, he's not realizing the fact that there's a time and a place to come over, and there's a time for you to stay at home. So timing is, again, there is a friend that he Let your neighbor's house, let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. So let's talk about carefulness with words. Scripture mentions, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And I think you all can probably be aware of that friend whose words don't really build you up, actually tear you down. They don't make you a better person. It's criticism, it's hurt, it's pain. And they don't seem to really care. They just use their words, and they tear you down. And yet, I don't know, maybe because you want them to be with you so much, you want to hang out with them so much, you're willing to accept that, but that's not a true friend, guys. If he's going to be, or she's going to be a true friend, they're going to use their words to build you up. They're going to use their words to help you. They're going to use their words to serve you. So be careful of the person who tears you down with their words and they don't help you. Stewardship. So what this means is that, let's read the text. It says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. So, Lydia, if I was to say to you that I'm your friend, and you told me something in secret, and I went to tell somebody what you had just told me in secret, would you consider me a friend? But you told me something in secret. You would expect me to be trustworthy, right? Because the fact that you came to me shows that you trusted me. Now, I think you're right in some sense. There are some secrets that shouldn't be kept. There are some secrets that should be told. And you just have to tell it to the right person. And I would say not go tell it to another friend because you're gossiping then. You're not really being a friend. And if I just told you something in confidence and secret, that, yeah, if you need to go tell my mom or my dad or my pastor, that's one thing. But to go and tell your other friend, guess what so-and-so just told me? That's not friendship. And you're breaking trust by doing that. Yep. How many times do you guys maybe have friends, but because that one friend told a secret to another friend, now you're no longer friends? You don't talk to each other anymore. You don't communicate. And because that secret got out, especially, you definitely don't talk about it anymore. And you definitely don't talk to each other anymore. Kind of that saying of a secret can be kept. Four people can keep a secret when three of the friends are dead. So, so you have that moment of realizing that if you are going to tell somebody a secret or something you trust, then it should be somebody that you can find trustworthy, somebody who's going to be constant, somebody that's going to be honest with you, somebody that's going to be careful with the way they talk about you and receive things from you, and know that in those situations where they do need to tell somebody, they're going to go to the right people to tell somebody. And the last thing, counsel. Who wants to tell me about counsel? Josh, do you know about counsel? Yes or no? Mark, counsel. You know what counsel means? Mm-hmm. To get advice from them, to get wisdom from them, to maybe help them to help you understand what you should do about a situation that you feel like you need help with. And so, Scripture mentions, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. And, of course, the assumption is you're actually getting good counsel. Because I can tell you that if you have the friend who tells you to ignore your parents or rebel against your parents or don't go to church because it's lame, or I don't know, what else do some people may want to tell you to keep away from doing things that are really good? Don't hang out with that dude because he's different. Maybe a good example. Don't talk to him because he's tall or she's short or she's quiet. They're not like us. And so what you do is you end up taking that counsel and you end up separating from somebody who, if you actually would have taken the time to get to know, you would have found out they are a really nice person. And yep, they're scared just like you're scared, and they're trying to figure out things like you're trying to figure out, and they don't like isolation as much as you don't like isolation. They would rather for somebody to just, I don't know, say hi. I remember there was a situation where I went to this group, and there were some people I knew because there were some people from the church, but there was this one guy I saw, kind of, he was coming to the group and he was going to hang out with us. And I remember I walked in the room and I said, hi. So I introduced myself. I'm Ricky. Tell me about yourself. And his answer was, not much to tell. Bam. Okay. So I'm thinking already, all right, this is going to be tough because he just told me in a few words, I don't have anything to tell you. Therefore, I would think, oh, end the conversation there because he just told me not much to tell. But we all had dinner and we all sat down. And I asked the question, or somebody asked the question rather, tell me about your family. And so we all kind of went around the group talking about our brothers, our sisters, our mom, our dad, what kind of background we came from. And in an instant, this kid who told me not much to tell started talking. And I mean, like, he hasn't talking si stopped talking since. But he's a cool kid. But just that matter of, you would think when you hear somebody say, I don't want to talk, or I don't know what to say, it may be because you've asked the wrong question. And it may be taking the time to realize who you're talking to and how to better get to know them. And just because they're different from you doesn't mean there's not some way you can connect. I think you can look at the Avengers. You can look at so many stories. Bilbo Baggins and Gandalf and the dwarves. Or something that you may sit and think of a situation where two people met and immediately it seemed as if they could not connect. But over time, something changed. And they could. So if you want to look for a true friend, look for somebody who's going to be constant. Look for somebody who's going to be honest with you. Look for somebody who's going to care about you. And look for somebody who's actually a means of good counsel. And the truth of the matter is that as you guys get older, you're going to find out that your friends are going to come in many forms. They're going to come at your same age. They're going to be peers just like you. But they're also going to be your mom and your dad and your pastors. And this guy that you met in college, when you all get there, that you've been friends for years and years and years now. And because of that relationship, you know that this is going to be a good source of counsel for you. And they're going to care for you. And they're going to love you. And they're going to be there for you. So if you're going to look for true friendship, look for people that have these true characteristics. Now, before I finish that thought, don't assume that after I said that, you need to go cut all your friendships. Please don't assume that. Okay? Take the time to look at, ask yourself first and foremost, am I constant? Am I honest? Am I careful? Do I give good counsel? Because the best way to really start this off is to look at your own heart and to look at your own self first. Because maybe what you end up doing is because you weren't constant and you weren't honest and you weren't careful and you didn't give good counsel, that you end up surrounding yourself with people who did the same exact thing. And so now you need to go and look for the people who fit those characteristics. But also remember that those people that you may be in the group with now can grow to be constant. They can grow to be honest. They can grow to be careful. And they can grow to give you good counsel. That takes time and it takes work. But it's definitely worth it, guys, if it's true friendship. So, let's answer the question, how do we pursue biblical friendship? How do you pursue friendship? Humility, our text, Philippians 2. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but count each other as more, okay, more significant than yourselves. What did you say, Henry? Okay. How would you go and start a new friendship, Josiah? Spending time with people. Anyone else want to add how you start off a new friendship? Abby, have an idea how you would start it off? Is that Abby? Abby? How do you start off new friendships? I mean, you're in dance, right? So, when you first showed up at your dance theater, how many friends did you have in dance? Have a good amount? Or did you have to build friendships? Exactly. So, you found something to unite you, and you built off of that. Now, as Christians, we already have a sure foundation. We have Jesus who unites us. Because whether you guys realize it or not, one thing that is amazing is when we sang tonight, it didn't matter who we were, or what color you were, or what height you were, we all sang the same songs. And the truth of the matter is that when we get to heaven, that's exactly how it's going to be. We're going to be people from every tribe and nation and tongue, and we're all going to sing before one throne, and we're all going to sing to one God. Okay? So if you got to work on the differences now, you better get ready, because when you get to heaven, it's going to be just like that. People who are different from you, people who come from different backgrounds than you, people who may not come from the same cultures as you did, but God is going to unite us all together and make us one people and make us his own people. And so, if you want to go about the process of actually building biblical friendship, we're going to do what's known as one anothering. Have you guys heard that term before? One another. So you go to John, scripture says, love one another. You go to another text, scripture says, serve one another. You go to another text and it says, be kind to one another. You go to another text and it says, forgive one another. You go to another text and it says, accept one another. And you go to another text that mentions that God has accepted you. Therefore, you have no reason to not accept others. Because we're all different in here. Y'all have different backgrounds. Y'all have different stories. And yet, God has accepted us. He didn't make any distinction. And so, if you go to Scripture, because the first place that you should be trying to find out who you are is you've got to go to God and ask Him. And so, you go to God and you say, who am I? And if you're a Christian, God says to you, you're loved. He says to you, you're adopted. He says to you, I accept you. He says to you, you don't have to perform to get my attention. You already have it. He says to you, I am your father, and I am your friend, and I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so if you're going to go look for who you are, if you want to go look for who you should first define yourself as, you're going to hear those words, child of God, if you are a Christian. Son of God, daughter of God, he has made you his own, and that's where you start with your identity and who you are. And everything else that comes after that is secondary. It's secondary. So, yeah, you may love basketball. Some people may call you a jock, but it doesn't mean that that's where your identity lies first. Some people may call you the nerd. I like nerds, to be honest. But that's not where your identity first starts. Your identity starts first with the fact that you are a child of God. You have been adopted. You have been loved. You have been accepted. And because of that, you can accept others. Let me tell you guys something. God has accepted you. If you're a Christian, he's accepted you. He's made you his own. You don't have to work for his attention. And I think I can say safely, the pastors here and everybody here, your parents, me, I'm going to tell you, we accept you. You don't have to try to gain our attention. You don't have to feel like you have to work for it or that you have to fight for it. You can just come get it. I'm sure we're going to welcome you. But what we need for all of you to work on as well is we need you to grow in accepting one another. You're different. We all understand that. You come from different backgrounds. Have different thoughts, have different ideas. And initially, it may seem it's going to be impossible to connect. But what happens when you begin to accept someone with all their flaws and all their mistakes and all the ways that they're different from you? No high expectations, just I accept you. And so I learned how to serve you. Open the door, sit beside you and have a conversation. Invite you to come play basketball, or I love you. Maybe the way you love it is I'm not rude towards you. I'm not unkind towards you. I'm patient with you. I reach out to you. I seek to befriend you because that's what love would do. Or if you're trying to just learn how to forgive someone, and you can't forgive someone, it's hard to be their friend. It's just the honest truth. But when you do forgive, it breaks down a lot of walls. You can let a lot of things go. You can actually begin to heal because the honest truth is that if you want to talk about forgiveness, God forgave us. We were enemies of him. We weren't following him. We rejected him. We went our own way, and yet he forgave us. And he didn't hold this big old bag over our head saying, "Oh, you know, but the next time you mess up, I'm just going to remind you." Now, he forgave you so much so that scripture mentions things like he cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Or he says to us, "I will remember your sin no more." Or the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so, if you're trying to learn how to connect with somebody new, whether they're the same sex as you or a different sex as you, whether it's a guy or a girl, you want another. And you have that moment where you go, "I'm trying to be kind to you. I'm trying to be a friend to you. I'm trying to get to know you. I'm trying to hang out with you." And I wouldn't deny, in the beginning, it may initially seem extremely hard. But if you go on the journey and you take the risk, I think you'll find out something different. And you'll find out it was actually a good decision that you did what you did. One area that could help you is you guys could pray for one another. Think it's hard to pray for somebody you don't like, to be honest. But if you can sit beside somebody who you don't really know, yet you can still pray for them, you're starting to one another. You're starting to show them kindness. You're starting to show them love. And you're starting to show them acceptance. Even though you may not completely know everything about them, you're building a bridge. And that's a good thing, guys. And if you're doing it in humility, it's going to be a wonderful thing. Be a wonderful thing. So let's talk about the result. First thing, God will be glorified. I know y'all hear that so much. Y'all are like, that's the first point, really. But if you guys can stand in the congregation today and say you want to see the name of Jesus high and lifted up, then you'll begin to pursue biblical friendship. If you want to say that God's glory is indeed my chief aim, and that's what you want as a Christian, then you'll begin to pursue biblical friendship. Another thing is you'll become more like Jesus. Jesus is described as the friend of what? Anybody know? Sinners. When Jesus would go hang out with people in society that were criticized or not really well accepted, not liked, he got ridiculed. He took a risk. So if you want to be like Jesus, then it means connecting with somebody that may be completely different from you, and yet Jesus did it. Somebody that you seem to have nothing in common with, and yet Jesus does it over and over and over again. And yet, at the same time, Jesus himself is our friend. That's one of the things that he tells us as Christians is he calls us friends. We're dear friends. Sometimes we're not very nice. I can imagine we're probably not always very pretty to look at. And yet, he befriends us, and he loves us, and he's patient with us, and he's kind to us, and he forgives us, and he doesn't hold bags and things over our head. Once he says, "I've forgiven you," he's forgiven you. And that's it. He will love you to the end. Another thing. Last thing, preparation for romance. Okay, how many cringed? Marriage and relationships in general. I can tell you guys, growing up, this is probably the hardest part we all have to face, one of the hardest things. But the mystery of it all is, I think, when it comes to romance or marriage or relationships with other people, we tend to have these really high expectations. And so you think, if I just dance with her on at the contra dance, we're going to get married. No, not necessarily. If I just go say hi to her, then I'm going to get labeled a nerd, and nobody's going to hang out with me, and you might find out she's a great girl. Or if I go talk to him, that means this guy's not going to pay attention to me, and that's a bad thing, and so I'm not going to do it. But the truth of the matter is, when you really sit down and think about it, marriage, dating, romance, relationships in general will never work without a friendship. It'll never work. So you can think of examples in our church. So we have home groups. You can put all of y'all in a home group. Doesn't mean you're going to talk to each other. Doesn't mean you're going to hang out with each other. Doesn't mean you're going to like doing stuff together. We can put all of you here in a youth group. Doesn't mean you're going to talk to each other or hang out with each other or even like each other. And so, but what happens to actually draw you guys together is you form a friendship, and therefore you open access to one another. Now, the danger with friendships, if you don't do them right, is it can become a point where you start excluding people who are not like you. I understand you want to be accepted, you want to have an identity, and those are great things to want, but you can want them for the wrong reasons, and you can do them for the wrong thing. And if somebody's different from you, and you want to open up your heart and life to them, that's a good thing. Because there's an opportunity to build a friendship with somebody who's different from you. And even more so, if they're not a Christian, it can be an opportunity to share the gospel. Actually get somebody who may not know how to be a good friend to actually become a good friend. And then when it comes to that point where you continue to build friendship with people, it's easier to actually build a friendship with people who are different from you and don't really know much about you, you don't really know about much about them. And you begin this process of actually opening yourself up to other people. And that's a good thing, guys. It's a good thing. Because that's the world you're going to live in. But honestly, I love our church. I love Sovereign Grace so much. And I want to see her grow. And I want to see her get stronger. And I want to see her expand. And that means we're going to have people who come here that are going to be different from us. All have that same foundation. We love Jesus. We want to glorify God, and we want to follow Christ. And yet when we start talking, we realize there are some differences. There are some things we don't agree on. There are some things we don't like about each other. But learning to live together with those differences, to serve one another, to think more significantly about others than we think ourselves, to be humble and actually reach out to one another and build one another up, it's the whole reason we're actually going to be a church. Because we're on a journey together. We're all going to the same place. We all have the same vision. And if I don't use my words or my time or the way that I treat you to actually help you build towards that vision, I am not being your friend. I'm not being your brother or sister in Christ, because we're all heading in that direction, guys. I just want to encourage you guys to do that. So if you do pursue biblical friendship, I can tell you, I think a lot of you will become like Bilbo Baggins. You'll get invited to go on a journey, and you'll find out, yeah, I'm not going to say the journey is going to be easy. I'm not going to say that there won't be rough spots, that there won't be challenges, there won't be difficulties, but I am going to say that your life is going to be changed forever because you decided to go on the journey. I just want to encourage you guys in that. You guys have any questions? Or any comments? Or any thoughts? John? What do you guys think? Now that you say yes, do you do that? Do you do that? I know she's your best friend. I know he's your best friend. But I promise you, if you accept other people, it doesn't mean you're going to stop being friends, guys. Or you're not going to have that friend anymore because you let somebody else in. It's learning to grow together. And that's an amazing thing because we're all on the same journey. Any other questions? Be honest. I promise you won't hurt me. I promise I'll still be your friend tomorrow. Not going to pull anything out of you guys, but I'm going to challenge you to do something tonight. So you guys usually break into groups. Is that right? Let's see here. Who's all going to be in a group tonight? Oh, none of you are going to raise your hands now. Who's all going to be in a group? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys, 10 guys with Caleb. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So 16 girls and 11 guys. Oh, we're going to count the adults too? Oh, we're not going to count the adults. Maybe the adults need to go on a friendship too. So we have about 11 guys. Are you going to be in the group, Drew? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 girls. Okay. So for the girls, I'm going to break you up into two groups of 8. But here's the catch. It has to be with somebody you haven't talked to tonight. So when you walked in and you got in your group and you started talking about things, I want to challenge you to connect with somebody that you haven't talked to tonight. Y'all talk to everybody? Well, then you have two groups of 8. Just get in your groups then. Guys, there's going to be one group. That works too. That works too. So if you're, there's 11 guys, and so one group's going to be 5, one group's going to be 6. Girls, you have two groups, so there's 8 and 8. And I want you guys to not be in a group with somebody you're sitting next to. I want you to just break up. So 8 for girls, 5 for guys, and another guy's going to be 6. 4 corners. Now, before you start your discussion questions, let me break the ice for y'all before y'all freak out. So let's see. First question you're going to start off with tonight is, what is your favorite food? What's your favorite food? Just start there. Just whatever category you want it to be. Let's not get you want to talk about seafood or pizza or, yeah, go for it. Get in the corner, guys. And then go through your discussion questions, of course.